Big Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aysen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who aired the most misinformation. Aysen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is on the road taking on Illinois. The Badgers dropped in the rankings from 11 to 20th after back-to-back losses to Michigan and Marquette. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Magic in Milwaukee for another NBA Cup game. Damian Lillard only scored 11 points in Sunday's win over the Brooklyn Nets. It snapped a six-game streak of 25 points or more per game for Dame. Doc Rivers.
He struggled a little bit early, you know, but I thought down the stretch, he was clutch and got it going, made right plays. He's not going to have 40 every night. He's not even going to be great every night. No one is.
NFL, the Packers reviewed the tape of their game against the Lions.
We kind of went through the game recap today and just playing consistent football. I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game where we had advantages that we didn't capitalize on. And I think it always comes back to just doing the little things the right way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you for hanging out with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got Jess P.S. on the board and on the horn doing the hard work. Thank you, Jess. Some topics we want to get to in this hour. Our continuing conversation regarding immigration here in the state of Wisconsin. And also in the next half hour, I want to get to the cost of healthcare. Of course, is very unfortunate and wrong. Let me be very clear for all those megas out there thinking I'm encouraging that. Murder of this healthcare executive has brought to light, you know, some of the angst that folks have about our healthcare system in this country. I think Mother Jones had a nice piece on that. Mm-hmm. Some of the statistics, I think, are really... it's shocking. Absolutely. I guess it's all right there. We all know it if you're involved in the healthcare system. I mean, most people are one way or another. You're either paying premiums or you're paying the hospital bills or both. But what is the cause? What is the source of that angst? We'll get there as well. But starting with the immigration, saw the piece here over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Maya Pandy reporting Trump's pledge to end birthright citizenship, including in Wisconsin. Is that possible? Well, I don't think so, but let's hear. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a constitutional thing, but let's jump into it. And for, of course, folks, you can jump in with us as well. 855-752-4842. Trump, who has pledged sweeping immigration changes from day one in his second term, reiterated his desire to halt birthright citizenship this week. But actually delivering on the campaign promise will be an uphill legal battle, experts say. In the interview with NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday, we played lots of that sound for you yesterday. Trump said he would work toward a plan to carve out citizenship for Dreamers or people in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. That's the DACA program. The latest on Trump's immigration policy promises and how it would affect Wisconsinites. So let's define it as our journalist does. Birthright citizenship is part of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It was ratified in 1868 in the aftermath of the Civil War to grant citizenship to black people in the United States. Now, Section 1 of the amendment states that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. In other words, any person born in the United States has the right to citizenship, regardless of whether their parents are citizens, though it's worth noting that the amendment wasn't all-encompassing when it was first passed again in 1868. Well, why is that? Because Native Americans did not gain the right to birthright citizenship until 1924.
Oh boy.
What? And I read this today. Uh-huh. Like, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
The indigenous people that lived here before the Europeans and everyone else came over here and stole everything, killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get this birthright citizenship.
Sure, inhabiting the land for over 10,000 years. But
1924, happy 100th year anniversary for indigenous Native Americans to your birthright citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, is Trump going to go after that too?
Well, he might.
I mean, if you go after birthright citizenship, it affects everyone who was right. So
it
then,
affects everyone. So what are going to be his qualifications in order to be a citizen?
Well, you gotta give him money, of course.
Uh-huh.
The reporting goes on. As of 2019, more than 5.5 million children were living in the United States with at least one parent who had entered the country illegally, according to PBS. That equates to about 7% of the U.S. population. Now, here's what Trump said. He called birthright citizenship ridiculous. He said, we have to end it. Now, last year, in his Agenda 47 policy platform, Trump announced he would sign an executive order on day one directing federal agencies to no longer grant automatic U.S. citizenship to the children of immigrants who came to the country illegally. Really? No.
Day one.
No. Instead, his executive order would direct... he said his executive order would direct federal agencies to, quote, require that at least one parent be a U.S. citizen for a lawful permanent resident or lawful permanent resident for their future children to become automatic U.S. citizen, the policy plan states. Now, Trump pledged to exact similar measures during his first term, but never took action.
Well, that tracks.
Just gonna make an executive order on citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, that's going to get challenged. Come on, man. That's not going to happen. Though there is technically a path to ending birthright citizenship, legal experts agree it would be very difficult for Trump to do so. First, any executive order he issues will almost certainly face immediate legal challenges for violating the Constitution.
Right. That pesky little document.
You know, didn't he, swear an oath to uphold that thing?
He also said that he was, up for suspending it.
Oh,
so
that's right. So, I mean, only parts of it. Parts that he doesn't like.
Right.
Yes. Second, to actually end the policy, Trump would need to amend the Constitution itself. A constitutional amendment requires a two-thirds vote in the House and Senate or a request for a convention by two-thirds of the states. Well, that's not under some of these Republicans are trying to get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, they need ratification by three-fourths of the state legislatures, which the measure is extremely unlikely to achieve. Now, what other Wisconsin politicians, what have they said about it? Well, Evers, our governor here in the state of Wisconsin, and Senator Tammy Baldwin said they oppose ending birthright citizenship since 2018 when Trump first proposed the policy change. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Ron Johnson, well, what do you think Ron had to say? I said during a U.S. Senate hearing last month that he thinks the country ought to do away with birthright citizenship, according to the Heartland Signal, the quote they have here on the X. Personally, I think we ought to do away with birthright citizenship. Personally, I think we ought to do that. Despite his hardline immigration platform, Trump did say he would, quote, work with the Democrats on a plan for DACA recipients. Now, DACA is an Obama-era program that protects people who came to the U.S. as children from deportation and grants them work permits. About 530,000 young adults, who are often called dreamers, are part of that program. Now, Trump ended DACA in his first term, but the U.S. Supreme Court later overturned the decision. His reelection left many dreamers, including those here in Wisconsin, feeling uncertain about their future and planning for the deportation of their family members or the end of their work permits. You can't have those work permits. However, Trump said on Sunday, quote, we have to do something about the dreamers because these are people that have been brought here at a very young age, and many of these are middle-aged people now. Yeah, and they had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And their kids are U.S. citizens.
Well, they are now.
They are now, but, if Trump had his way, and he can't go undo that, by the way. My impression of once you're a U.S. citizen, you're a U.S. citizen. They're going to go back and retroactively say, okay, well,
We certainly hope.
Well, you can try. but that ain't happening. Trump went on to say that some of them are no longer young people, and in many cases, they've become successful. They get great jobs. In some cases, they have small businesses. Some cases, may have large businesses. We're going to have to do something with them. I may have small businesses. They may have large businesses. Well, obviously, he forgot medium businesses.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on, man.
Come on.
He loves his words.
The best words.
the best words.
Uh-huh.
So, ending birthright citizenship, is that something that we should be focusing on? Is that a concern for anybody out there? 855 752 for too? Is this a policy item that you think we're lacking? This is problematic. I mean, don't we need people in this country?
Last I checked, countries work best when they have people.
People. Otherwise, it's just like land with no country. Yeah. Land mm-hmm. with no people is just mm-hmm. land. Birth rates not keeping up, right? We got a lot of boomers retiring. That's gonna be a lot of the top end start paying off those Social Security. Of course, we could reduce all that as well to cut the debt. Oh, they got a plan for that as well. But this is not something I think is a priority. People are born here. They're citizens. That's how it mm-hmm. is. That's how it's been since 1868. Unless you're indigenous to this country, then in 1924, that's just how it is. And I don't know what problem is Donald Trump and the MAGAs and those that would endorse ending birthright citizenship. What problem does that address exactly? 855-752-4842. And then this on the heels of that, and I love this one. And thank you, Jess, for bringing this to my attention. Mm-hmm. Over at The Nation, here's an idea, folks. President Biden should issue blanket pardon of undocumented immigrants. Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Use that pardon power, baby.
This is what I'm saying. Protecting Trump's enemies from prosecution just reinforces the idea of politics as retribution. Instead, Democrats should be defending his most vulnerable targets. Chris Lehman over at The Nation reporting. Folks, you can jump in on this as well. 855-752-4842. The pardon phase of a lame duck presidency is never a pretty thing. Bill Clinton extended criminal pardons to big ticket donors such as Mark Rich and political allies such as Susan McDougal, Mel Reynolds, and Dan Rostenkowski, as well as his brother Roger. God, I remember most of that. George W. Bush was far stingier in his exercise of the pardon power, but still maximized its political returns with a pardon for former GOP Representative Randy Duke Cunningham and a commuted sentence for former Dick Cheney aide Louis Scooter Libby. Trump's first term yielded a bonanza.
Bonanza, what a word.
A plethora, a cornucopia of pardons for his cronies and enablers, including, well, here's some blast from the past, Roger mm-hmm. Stone. He's still around. Michael Flynn, Dinesh D'Souza, and Scooter Libby for good measure. What, a guy getting pardoned twice? What kind of world are you living in where you get two presidential pardons? I mean, what is going on here, man? Trump's flagrantly self-dealing use of executive clemency has indeed created a new category of jail emptying for legal analysts, the henchman pardon. The henchman pardon. In the waning days of the Biden presidency, the pardoning power is again being stretched to potentially take in a group that might be called imaginary henchmen. Lawmakers and officials deemed enemies of the MAGA movement, such as Public Health Administrator Anthony Fauci, Adam Schiff, the newly elected senator who chaired Trump's first impeachment in the House, former Joint Chiefs Chair Mark Milley, and erstwhile never-Trump GOP House Representative Liz Cheney. Yeah, I think Dick might have a problem if they come after Liz. I'm just saying. You know, you're going to put Darth Vader's daughter in jail, dude? For what? And for the record, folks, both Cheney and I think it was Adam Kinzinger are pushing back very earnestly against these threats from the incoming president. And Liz Cheney. And this comes in the wake of Biden's decision to pardon his son Hunter on gun and tax charges after pledging he'd do no such thing. This clutch of preemptive pardons is also a response to Trump's clear mission to inflict legal vengeance on his detractors during his second term. His nominee to head the FBI, Kash Patel, has repeatedly promised to round up Trump critics for legal retribution, and his Justice Department nominee, Pam Bondi, is another road-tested, if less publicly minded, Trump lackey. The threat of legal harassment from such figures is far from idle. Yet the use of preemptive pardons to defuse it is both too passive in conception and too narrow in focus. Pardons, after all, traditionally cover people who've been convicted of crimes, wrongfully or otherwise. Well, we'll see if we can come up with some other ideas for that pardon. Join us on the lines, 855-752-4842.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The John and Gordy Show.
What is this 15 people orgy that's going on?
A new Senate report says only 6% of federal workers go into the office 5 days a week. And the only federal workers showing up to the office are having sex with each other. Our report stated there was a 12-person orgy, but we have to issue a correction. It was 15.
It's not so bad working for the federal government after all.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Hello tomorrow, and goodbye to yesterday. We've been waiting for this moment, and we still don't know what to say. We may never find the answers or know the reason why. Why we both decided we should say goodbye.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Lame duck, President Biden, should he issue a blanket pardon of undocumented immigrants? Ooh, I like this idea. The Nation.com, Chris Lehman reporting. Folks, we'll get to you briefly and shortly, 855-752-4842. Talking about the pardons, let's get back to it. In the body of the piece, pardons traditionally cover people who've been convicted of crimes, wrongfully or otherwise, and using pardons to shield people raising legitimate issues and criticism legally in the service of the public weal abets rather than arrests the criminalization of politics that all sides of our corrupt system claim to abhor. It also affords no comfort to less high-profile and politically connected foes of Trumpism who can't leverage their proximity to Biden into a shield against future prosecution. As with the earlier Trump and Clinton pardons, these extensions of clemency would reinforce the impression that mercy from the Oval Office only applies to the American power elite. So let me float a modest proposal. Modest proposal. To redeem the use of the pardon power, Biden should disperse it far and wide. One obvious use of it, which would yield robust moral and political benefits, would be to grant a preemptive pardon to undocumented and documented immigrants now facing the prospect of indiscriminate mass deportation when Trump takes office next month. People who enter the country illegally within the last 20 years, who are currently awaiting an asylum decision, or are under the age of 12. Special care should be taken to include the legal recipients of temporary protective status, such as the Haitian community in Springfield, Ohio, relentlessly demonized by the Trump campaign. Trump is bound to try to abolish the TPS program as he moves forward on mass deportations. If Democrats are serious about confronting advancing mega fascism, this would be an effective way to throw up major obstacles to its enforcement at the outset. I like it. Now, as the author continues, the strategy could prove legally fruitless over the long haul, particularly as Trump can count on a megafied federal court system to shore up his phony, jury-rigged argument that an immigrant invasion warrants expansive energy emergency war power measures from the executive. But an imminent plan to legally target and repatriate a non-white population based on antisocial and violent traits imputed to them on the basis of national origin is indeed a dramatic and inestimably damaging lurch toward fascism. And so a correspondingly urgent and expansive use of executive power to thwart it is a first-order political exigency. Jeez.
You got it. You got there.
That's especially true for an opposition party that's frequently invoked the threat of mega-authoritarian rule to democracy and the rule of law. Democrats disastrously sat on their hands when the first Trump White House established its more modest but equally bogus agency to combat the non-existent wave of violent immigrant crime. Indeed, to its shame, the Biden White House left it intact after rescinding the executive order that created it. A mass pardon for immigrants imperiled by this horrific escalation of Trump's xenophobic predations would mark a long overdue clean break with the Democrats' craven and unimaginative collaboration with draconian border policies designed to stoke unfounded moral panics and the political revenge fantasies on the right, as well as supplying a bulwark of support for taxpaying workers in this country menaced by brown shirt raids dispatched from Washington. That's the moral case for a mass preemptive pardon for immigrants. The political one is less urgent, but equally compelling for a Democratic Party that's driven itself into the electoral wilderness without a compass. The Harris-led party never met the electorate with a clear and decisive sense of purpose or identity, professing to defend democracy and the interests of working people at the same time that it let major donors set its economic agenda and romanced a never significant cohort of never Trump GOP supporters. Its message on immigration was especially lackluster and self-undermining as Harris vowed to sign the brutal and regressive Republican border overhaul that Trump sabotaged in order to continue campaigning. Of course he did, on immigration moral panics. Meanwhile, Biden has scarcely done anything to address the plight of immigrants during his final days in office. A bold bid to append the Trump White House mass deportation agenda out of the gate would send an unambiguous message that Democrats will go to great lengths to prevent the further spread of fascist rule and xenophobic lies from a cynical and morally bankrupt GOP. It would create much the same galvanizing effect on the anti-Trump opposition sparked by the brigades of protesters and legal supporters who sought to block the Muslim ban in the early days of Trump's first term. Again, the legal grounds for a mass immigrant pardon could be shaky. Since unlawful presence, quote unquote, is a civil offense, a presidential pardon, which only applies to criminal ones, probably wouldn't override the deportation offense in court. Still, some immigration lawyers suggest that there is, in fact, a solid case for pardons. Here's a quote. There is actually no reason at all that the broad constitutional provision that allows the president to pardon, quote, offenses against the United States, unquote, could not include civil violations of the Immigration and Naturalization Acts, says Boston immigration attorney Matt Cameron, who's made the argument for pardons on his podcast Opening Arguments. Quote, it has never been used that way, but I agree it should be. And here's an NYU Law Review article that makes a comparable case, I think does so convincingly. Cameron also notes that mass pardon could also furnish immigrants a sturdy path to citizenship. Quote, there's also a major side benefit to the blanket pardon, which non-attorneys almost wouldn't think of. Penalties for periods of unlawful presence would not be applied, which would immediately help every undocumented person who is married to a U.S. citizen who would otherwise either have to wait outside the U.S. for 10 years to go through the extremely lengthy and uncertain hardship waiver process. This is what Biden's Keeping Families Together program, recently killed by a Texas federal judge, was trying to do. So, maybe a delay tactic, maybe some good benefit come out of it. Maybe it shows some support for those folks that are here, who were brought here as kids. There's lots to do this, to go to review with this. And if you're going to consider that these pardons, as specified in this article, for, you know, your inner circle, your buddies, your well-connected folks, you know, what about everybody else? A lot of these folks, they're going to be under the thumb of Donald Trump, and I still want to see how that process is going to work out. Sheriffs, Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, you know, name your group. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842. I say do it, Biden. Blanket pardon for all of them. Come back with us.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aysen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who air the most misinformation. Aysen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or a disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top five, and only three flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first weekend release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It is a text line. Some of you folks jumping on the texters here. John, referring to Ron Johnson, our senator from the great state of Wisconsin. What did he say? Ron Johnson said he would only run for one term. Sure has been a long one. I just wish he did something for Wisconsin other than embarrassing us.
Mm.
Oh, John. Rojo. We used to have that guy on the show all the time back in the day. And he's, you know, ever since the insurrection, he hasn't been allowed here. I haven't asked. I'm not gonna. Linda says his problem should be addressed only if his wife were deported first. She came in under fake documents. Linda from Middleton referring to what, Trump's current wife?
Current.
The third, number three?
Number three.
Number three. Number three, baby mama. Yeah, she got some interesting, like some, what, some pass, let's call it, you know.
But Dom.
What?
She's white.
Oh, is she though?
Is she? Well.
Wah, wah. Annie from Watertown. No problem that citizens came from neighbor and ally Mexico. Have a baby, so what? But the booming business of Chinese citizens paying the fee and the business provided all they needed to come here. Have an American citizen baby and return to China. Yeah, there's lots of folks, I don't know, using the system, engaging the system. I mean, this is how we have it. This is law. I mean, I know some folks don't like that. I have no problem with it. It's been that way all this time, and we've made it this far. We've made it to be this great again, to elect Donald Trump twice. Maybe we should get rid of it. No, I'm just kidding. It's been in our Constitution since 1868, finally applicable to the indigenous native population in 1924, and they want to undo it. But Annie, to your point, yes, there is a business involved in that, certainly. And if you have the ability to do so, right, if you have the money, if you're not like walking, you know, in a caravan up from South or Central America. Now, if you got the resource, you can just jump on a plane, land in the town, have that baby, and fly back. Nice and easy. No one talks about that, but it's only those caravans of people coming in, stealing your jobs, which, of course, is not the case. And I think that the point to that the Nation is making, the author here from the Nation, the basis for this angst. And when's the last time you heard about the, you know, people eating the pets in Springfield, Ohio? You haven't heard that, huh?
No.
Apparently, yeah. Inflation. Trump said inflation is not as bad as it was.
Well, the economy's
fine.
Great now you know, Trump got elected. Look at how fast he was able to turn that around.
Just
didn't
amazing.
Even have to get in office.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
All those issues are real, and they're trumped up.
Pun intended.
Indeed. 855-752-4842. A couple more from the text line. I like the gal who's with Dom. She adds to the show, says Gary from Madison. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's Jess P.S., Gary. Yeah, she's awesome. Thank you, Jess. And thank you, Gary. And I think that's about it. Let's see. So do all Trump's children lose their citizenship? John wonders from West Dallas.
Well, how else are they going to be determined to be citizens?
Mm-hmm. His youngest, Baron, right? He's Anchor Baby?
Yeah,
would
sounds
be,
like it.
Is that what they're all against? That's the term, right?
That's the term, Anchor Baby.
The terrible term. We're not supposed to use that term. But if you're going to rip on the Republicans who use that term, that's what Barron is, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to be clear that we're on the same page about all that. Yes, what do we got here? 855-752-4842. And again, using the pardon against a civil offense, that's one of the concerns that the author has here. But maybe it could include civil violations of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. I guess we wouldn't know until we try.
Right.
And if we're going to be part of pushing the limits of what the norms have been, shouldn't we do it to the benefit of the most people that could possibly help?
Well, I mean, the norms have been pushed so far in the anti-humanist direction. Why don't we try doing something that helps people for a change?
I mean, balance.
Just to see how it feels.
Just to see. And I think it could be, narrowed down. Certainly, if you have the hardcore criminal types, they call me. Heard Foxy don't call it news recently. Oh, we're gonna go after the gangbangers first, and all these guys talk about gangbanging first. Listen, folks that are engaged in that kind of hardcore criminal activity, they're already being focused on it and being shipped out first. And there are some folks who have been ordered by our courts to be deported and have. Now, hell, man, Obama deported like 5 million people. I mean, Obama, if the numbers are right, folks, you can Google it. It's not broke. Obama deported more people than Trump did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and that wasn't great for the Dems. It's an issue. Is it an issue to go now and try to redo the Constitution kind of an issue? Absolutely not. And lots of folks are here because their parents brought them here. Lots of folks are here because they're seeking asylum because it's dangerous in their home countries. Part of which, again, I think we need to recognize to some degree the legacy, call it legacy imperialism, the legacy foreign policy, the legacy of taking the resources and using the resources of our neighbors to the south. There's a history there. These things just didn't happen yesterday. And I think, one of the things that the rip on Kamala Harris from the Republicans, the misguided criticism, was that she's the border czar. Well, that's not the case. I mean, it's not down there, with a rifle, standing guard. Her assignment, I believe, was also the assignment of Vice President Mike Pence. Get to the core. What are the core issues? What are the core problems that we need to deal with? Again, I think those things can be dealt with in diplomatic terms. But there's also, obviously, lots of pressures, lots of corporate pressure. I mean, money, baby. Let's just talk about it what it is. That's what it comes down to. And for hundreds of years, if you go down and let's just paraphrase and call it pilfering the resources of everyone around us every time. And if they don't like it, you put in a dictator or you back the dictator. So as a democratic country supporting authoritarian dictators to the benefit, quote unquote, of our country. Well, that's great for us. Not so great for those folks who may have wanted a democracy. And we backed a dictator because the dictator will do what we want them to do. That's
sure.
Right. That's probably somewhat bad.
I should think so.
Is there a dichotomy? I don't know what the proper term is there. Hypocritical, maybe?
Yeah.
But those things...
And they have consequences.
They certainly do.
Consequences that roll out over the course of generations.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe we collectively got a small benefit for a little bit. How's that helping now?
855-752-4842. Jim from Appleton Caravan. What caravan? There has never been in all decades that regressives have been claiming them. Not one. The caravans.
But it sells so well,
doesn't it,
Jim?
Though? Doesn't it?
Because it's caravans. All scary.
Yeah, people want to come here. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Generally, it's a place where they're the rule of law, happens and is followed. Generally, that's the case.
Generally, if not, though, you can be elected president.
Generally, you can come here and not be forced to show your papers. There's a sense of freedom and liberty, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness.
Hey, you've got those tattooed on you.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I am the pursuit. We all have that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the point. That's the point. We the people get to decide. And right now, we the people, the president, is Joe Biden. and Joe Biden should absolutely push the limits on this and to embrace those that are already here with us.
Mm-hmm.
That are already our neighbors that are working here. Let's get past it all. Are you kidding me? Let's pardon everyone. Preemptively pardon. We'll mm-hmm. push those limits. Mm-hmm. Let's get some. In the meantime,
start with a nice, fresh, clean slate.
Well,
huh?
And do we have to worry about work permits then as well? I mean, we can get people on the system. We can get them actual social security numbers where they can actually, you know, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if they pay it in the system, they might get some back. Because right now they don't.
No.
Right now they don't. Maybe. You know, of course, if this were to happen, perhaps wages would increase.
I don't know.
Is it inflationary? I don't know. 855-752-4842. It is an interesting concept to consider. And again, to your point, Jess, we need a little more humanism here, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
Push back against it. And it would send, I think, a loud message, not only to our migrant friends here, but around the world, that we stand up for this. We stand up for democracy. We stand up for the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we can fix this legislatively, but you don't want to do that. And as the nation points out, they weren't a big fan of that law that came out of the Senate. Now, it was something maybe not better than nothing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had less of a reaction to it because we do need some solutions, certainly. But the work permit issue, if people want to come here to work.
Right. This should be such a simple matter to legislate and then have a clear path forward where we can all benefit.
I mean, it's basic governance, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Immigration is basic governance.
You
want to
come in and you want to work?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're getting that line. You want to come in and play? That's fine, too. Just bring the money.
Yeah.
Why don't we want to be that shining light on the hill? Isn't that what we want people? Of course, people want to come here. And these folks are not tapping in the system. You know who's breaking the system are the billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you're come in as a undocumented migrant, you're going to work when filling out a fraudulent or wrong or incorrect, inaccurate I-9, and you're working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're working.
You're working to build the system. Not break it.
And you're contributing to something you will never get back. Those folks aren't getting unemployment. Those folks aren't getting Social Security or Medicare. That's just not happening. 855-752-4842. The Mother Jones article, was that the one about the Doge Bros? The Doge Bros? We'll get to the Doge Bros. You want to save some money in this country? There's some ideas out there. Hey, Wisco Paul, we'll get you on the air right now. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dom. Hey, I'll make this quick or try to. We have something in common. We both had friends that parents owned farms, and I think I spent three or four years working there in the summer. It was the dairy farm like you did, and it didn't take me long to figure out this thing goes on 7 days a week, sometimes all times of the day and night, and I'm done with your program here because we're definitely going to need people to help these dairy farmers out. At least that's my experience in a dairy farm. And I don't know. I suppose there's people that will still do it, but I knew that's not what I wanted to do with my life. I'll tell you that much because, like I said, it never ends. So, if you do this, in the end, it saves a lot of money. We get to keep a lot of these workers as long as they can do this like in an orderly fashion, I guess. It sounds better than trying to round all these people up.
And Paulie, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for listening. Yeah, it sounds a whole lot better than rounding people up. How about? Hey, you're here. Here's your Joe Biden pardon.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the party, pal. Get your stuff out. Sign up the docs. Get your source. Get working. You're now officially one of us. You've been here working here anyway. Yeah, I'm down with this, and I think we should absolutely test the system, especially for the benefit of humanism, to the advancement of humanism.
Uh-huh.
855-752-4842. I know we don't have a lot of time in this left in the segment, but I do want to throw out the next topic briefly that we'll get to, and of course we'll get to your calls as well. Here's trillions in federal waste that the Doge Bros could actually target. Because what's more wasteful than giant tax breaks for people who don't need them? Michael Mechanic Is that Mike and the Mechanics? Michael Mechanic over at the Mother Jones. Well, I know when he's talking about those who need and those that don't need. I'm not a big fan of that kind of conversation. I mean, no one wants to pay taxes. but there are wasteful, giant tax breaks that perhaps they would, I'm not saying they don't need them. Maybe they wouldn't miss it as much as some of us would. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Come back with us. We'll get your calls and a little bit of the top lines of what those items might be. 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Radio Network.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Mother Jones got some great ideas for the Doge Bros. Mm-hmm. Of course, that'd be what? Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy and Musk. The Doge Bros and what they could actually target. But let's get to some callers first and some texters. Callers always take priority. Tim from Wales, you are up. Welcome, Tim. What do you got for us?
Hey, you know, Canada has done work visas for years. If you want to apply for a job and the work company will sponsor you, you get a work visa. So I think one easy way we could step in right away is anybody that's working can get a visa right away.
Right, Tim. I mean, here's a solution to the problem that's already in use. Why isn't that being done, Tim? I mean, how come we're not using very practical solutions to an obvious problem?
Exactly. I mean, you can do a tiered one. You know, all those people automatically get visas. They're working here. They're productive citizens. They're, you know, spending money. They're making money. They're in the economy. It's the other people that, you know, we have to work as a, you know, as a civilization on how to help the people where you have language barriers. and different things like that on how to help them become citizens.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, this isn't, this isn't reinventing the wheel, right? We have solutions that we can enact. And not there's not one solution for everything, right? So you got some worker folks that, you know, that's an easier one perhaps than, you know, the mother or the father of an elderly perhaps of those brought those kids in, the dreamers now that are maybe middle-aged, and you know, and maybe they have language barriers, but you're going to send them, they've been here 40 years, you know, where are you going to send them to? There should be a process for them as well. I mean, not just folks that work, and those are the obvious ones. And folks that are breaking the law should be deported. I mean, certainly, if you're in this, and that's the thing, and what this environment creates, not just the ability for politicians to use it as a club, which they continue to do, but it does. It creates opportunity for crime. It creates opportunity for not going to call it blackmail, but you know, strong arming. You know, because folks don't want to be part and get involved into the system. So if you're in that situation as an undocumented migrant and you're working and someone stiffs you on the pay,
you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What recourse do you have?
You know, back in the day, you know, when they go to the mafia because all the government was all corrupt and you want to get something, you go to
the government was corrupt.
Well, you talk about the old Sicilian, but come on, over the centuries, everyone had a piece of Sicily back in the day, you know, so they had to rely on their own, on themselves to get through. And if you couldn't rely on a justice system, well, maybe, you know, you do your own justice.
Well, we've seen some of that.
Well, you know, this is unfortunately so. 855-752-4842. All right. Here's trillions in federal ways the Doge Bros could actually target.
Let's hear it.
Michael Mechanic, not Mike and the Mechanics, is laying a few out there for us. We'll just hit some of the top lines. Here's one. This would save, according to this article at motherjones.com, $2.5 trillion.
Oh,
sounds like a lot of money, right? Tax breaks for private retirement plans. Some Republican lawmakers are eyeing Social Security reductions to cover the cost of extending the tax cuts for the wealthy that Trump signed into law in December 2017. But if the goal is to eliminate waste, they're barking up the wrong tree. The SSA estimates it will disperse about $110 billion more in benefits this year than it receives from the taxes that are deducted from our paychecks to fund the program. And that's a fair sum, but the government spends nearly, get this, four times as much subsidizing private retirement savings, whose benefits flow disproportionately to the affluent.
Wow.
The U.S. government, and by extension the states, offer tax breaks for contributions to these investment accounts and on the stock profits that accrue in those accounts over the years, benefits that add up to just under $2.5 trillion over 5 years. But unlike Social Security, private retirement plans are far from universal. Participation varies widely by income. Isn't always the case, right? I mean, according to the Federal Reserve Board's latest, which is 2022 Survey of Consumer Finances, only 41% of families in the lower half of the income spectrum had a private retirement account, whereas 96% of families in the top earning 10% have one or more. And among the participating families, average savings from the lower income half was just under $55,000 versus over $900,000 in the top 10%. Now, encouraging people to save is laudable. The wasteful part is that there's no ceiling. In fact, JCT reported that more than 28,000 Americans had IRAs, these are individual retirement account balances, exceeding $5 million, and nearly 500 had holdings of more than $25 million. Whew. Peter Thiel, using dubious tactics, even managed to accumulate more than $5 billion in a Roth IRA, a type of account intended for middle-class savers. And that's just IRAs, which a person can own alongside other pensions and 401k-type accounts. Yeah, here's a fix. Once a person amasses a total of $2 million in their combined retirement accounts, you remove them from the federal teat. If they need more, they can save without the government's help. There's an idea. The exclusion of capital gains at death, $309 billion. That's some money as well. Tax deductions for charitable gifts, $379 billion. Huh? Reduced rates on dividends and long-term capital gains, $1.2 trillion. Home mortgage interest deductions. Well, hang on now. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Thank you to our overtime guest, Maggie Dawn. Check her out Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all your hard work. Thank you to our audience. And stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwab is coming up next. Have a wonderful evening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Your news.